This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get through these calls. You know what we're talking about. We're getting ready for baseball season. Mets fans, Yankee fans, still just hashing things out, going back and forth. It's more Mets stuff to report than Yankee stuff. Like, we can talk about Ben Rice and Jason Dominguez making the roster, but we kind of knew that. You know what I'm saying? Like, for the Yankees, we're just ready to see these guys prove that they're still the Yankees, that these new Yankees are going to help the Yankees continue the standard of being the New York Yankees. And for the Mets, you add Juan Soto to the Mets, the bar is raised, right? The expectations are higher. Can the Mets live up to it? Will the Mets live up to it? When we get to the end of the night, I'll throw out, you know, some thoughts that I have on division winners and World Series winners and over-unders for win totals. But again, I don't care. Like, if I'm correct, I won't look back on the tape or look up the numbers. If I'm wrong, it doesn't matter. Baseball is unpredictable. You can't predict baseball. That's baseball, Susan. And I love that about baseball. We have no idea. You know, just two seasons ago, it was Arlington versus Phoenix in the World Series. No one had that on their bingo card. The Dodgers are already the 2025 back-to-back champs. They're going to repeat. I'd like to wager on them to not. I haven't seen it since I was in elementary school. The Yankees were the last to do it when I was coming out of elementary school, in middle school, actually. So let's see if they can get it done, right? They have injuries. All these teams have injuries. There's Shane McClanahan, Royce Lewis, Gunnar Henderson. There are players hurt around baseball. But you know what? Like, you don't need your best players healthy for opening day for March, April, May. You need your best players ready to go for October if you're so fortunate to get there. So we got a long way to go. It's a ride. And I say it all the time. I say it every season. We take it day by day, series by series, week to week, month to month. But where we're taking this now is these are the last of days. No one knows anything. These are the last of days of saying what is going to be or what isn't going to be. Every night now, starting Thursday, we will have actual baseball games that count, innings to look at, stats to look at, data to look at, to measure who is who and what is what. And we'll go off of that. 888-808-1019. Mike is down in Tom's River on the Fan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Keith. How's it going, buddy?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Hey, man. First and foremost, I want to thank you, you know, for your content and all the Yankee coverage, you know, and all sports in general, man. You're a great listener, one of my favorite listeners. And I'm 48 years old. I was listening to Steve Summers back in the day when I was probably like, I don't know, 13, 14 years old, going to bed at night on the overnight, falling asleep to him, you know, listening to that guy, you know.
And of course.
You're an awesome listen, man. I was down in spring training from the 8th to the 15th this month. And, you know, I got to say, I went to 3 games while I was there watching the team. I like the depth that we have this year going into the year. The lineup's a lot deeper. I think, you know, there's three keys in that lineup that really just, you know, if they can just step it up a notch, and one being Volpe, you know, if Volpe can put together a 260 season with like a 330, 340 on base percentage, that's huge for this team.
Yeah, a little pop, some stolen bases. He can. He absolutely can.
And I like the way the lineup could potentially be set up. You know, Goldschmidt. You know, I know he's getting up there in age, but I think with Yankee Stadium playing half his games there, you add on the games in Tampa that he's going to get. I'd sign off on Goldie doing, 260 with 25 home runs and 80 RBIs in a heartbeat, and then you take Dominguez in there. And if he can, you know, he's an upgrade offensively over Verdugo. I like the balance in the lineup. I wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
And, I agree. You know, I agree. Go on.
I'm gonna miss Soto. Listen, the guy's a game changer. He's a showman in the box.
One of the best in the business. One of the best hitters we've seen ever.
I don't miss a game. Every game since I was a kid. You know, I watch every game. I saw every at bat of that guy. It's like, you know, you said you have, and you know, the guy's one of the best I've ever seen. But a lot of it, you know, you look at the stats at the end of the day, it's we can, I think, you know, with the balance in the lineup, it's going to offset that. It's going to make us a little deeper. And
it's a different year. It's a different year. We didn't have Soto the, you know, 2022, 2019, 2017 trips to the American League Championship Series. And some will say, well, that was the difference why you didn't get out of the series. But it's a different year. It's time for them to adjust. Thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate how you started the call as well. Shout out to Steve Summers, man. I had the thought when you said that. I'm like, you know, the contrast between Steve and I, and I think that was funny. I was walking today to the train, and I was like, man, when I first started on WFAN, I was terrible. Like, in my own mind, I would go home and listen to the podcast, and I'm like, I suck at this. Like, I'm just not good at this. I got to get better. I think I've gotten better now. But, like, I think when I first came in, the biggest thing was just, like, the social media aspect. I was a former social media manager in New York City, video editor, did photography. I wrote copy over and over again. Now I apply that to my radio takes and my sports trips and stuff like that, and it has built me a following. With Steve, I just had the thought imagining, like, what if Steve could, and it's not his era, he probably wouldn't even want to, or he definitely doesn't want to, but what if Steve could put his imagination into content and social media and building his online brand? Because he did it so well on the air. He did it so well, like the theater of the mind that we get from a Steve Summers show is so magical. You'll be laughing one minute and thinking the next minute, and you'll be going back in time, and then he'll hit you with something else and take a call, and he just had such a way about him. I'm like, what if he was able to do that on different platforms the way that I'm able to take, you know, my radio show and my voice and my image and my brand and put it on YouTube and TikTok and Twitter and Instagram and all of these different digital platforms that bring people into my radio show. It was just a thought that I had. Now, Steve, being 40 years older than me, is just not his era. It's just not. But shout out to him, because, you know, for almost 40 years, he did it his way, and he did it in an iconic way that'll never be forgotten. He's one of the best ever. I'm trying to be one of the best ever, but I'm doing it in my own way, in a radio way, but also in a digital way. And, you know, on the way to talking about the lineup with the Yankees, yeah, you mentioned Paul Goldschmidt. He's going to get an opportunity to lead off. Paul Goldschmidt has an opportunity to prove that he's not done. Paul Goldschmidt has been one of my favorite hitters in Major League Baseball over the last decade. when I was in the fan cave in 2014, he was on the Diamondbacks, and I'm like, this guy's a dog. Anyway, he won the MVP just 3 seasons ago. That's still in him. I was listening to Evan today talk about the lack of production that we got from Rizzo at first base or DJ LeMahieu at first base. Goldschmidt in his down year is better than them. So, fret not, Yankee fans. Fret not. In the middle of this order, guys like Jazz and Volpe, the speed. Today I saw the picture of Ben Rice and Dominguez. I said, don't say that we're old. Oh, the Yankees are getting old. The window's closing. No, it is not. Do not tell me the window is closing. Do not tell me that these Yankees are old. Now we have finally started to change. For years it was, they don't have enough left-handed hitting. Now they have more left-handed hitters. Dom Smith could have a great spring for the Yankees. Opt out. You're not making the club. They didn't have enough speed. Now they have speed. Jason Dominguez, as fast as Bobby Witt Jr., Jazz Chisholm, Volpe, Oswaldo Cabrera. So, man, let these guys become. Let them find their identity. They are not going to sink. They know where the bar is. They know what the standard is. Let's go for the ride with them. Let's support them. I'll see you at Yankee Stadium on Thursday for the beginning of it. Bobby's in Belmore on the fan. Go for it, Bobby.
Yeah, hi. Before I get to the baseball quickly, I don't wish an injury on anybody because you're talking about injury. Jason Tatum, maybe he'll get a little re-injury in the ankle that ends up next month. But then it's second round.
Stop that.
Let me move on to the baseball. Number one, I almost fell off my chair. Comparing Mark Teixeira to Juan Soto is ridiculous.
It's a number. I didn't even comment on it because I heard someone compare him to Bobby Abreu. Oh, there was another person that's when you go to Baseball Reference, I'm sure there's someone you can match with. The difference between Juan Soto and these guys is he's an absolute dog. When the lights are brightest, he's a difference maker. He's unfazed.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, you should compare it to it. It's Aaron Judge because they both got to the World Series 2009. They won it, obviously, with the spite of them. And they have both seasons.
I can't compare him to Aaron Judge. He's the complete opposite of Aaron Judge. When Aaron Judge disappears in the postseason, Juan Soto is the best player or one of the best players consistent. If he's not hitting, he's working walks. Juan Soto is unaffected by the pressure. Judge is completely affected by the pressure. Love Judge, but it's facts.
All right, number two, Nemo, please be quiet. You didn't live up to your contract last year. Just worry about that.
Yeah, be healthy. Be available.
And healthy. And the last thing, the Yankees lost four best postseason players last year in Soto, Cole, Torres, and Stanton. Bellinger and Freed, the ones that got to replace Soto. Bellinger's a .211 postseason hitter, just like Judge was before last year. And actually went down. And Freed has over 5 ERA even after that great 2021 Atlanta clincher. And the Yankees are still heavier favorites than the Mets, plus 900 to 1,100, the Mets, to get to the World Series. So that just shows you how weak the AL is and how strong the NL is. So even with all those bad things that happened to the Yankees compared to, since last year's postseason, they're still the favorite to get back to the World Series in the AL. And the Mets, I think, are third, I believe.
Yeah, you're correct. Thanks for the call, Bobby. So what does that mean? I mean, one, they're the Yankees, so that brand, every year they're expecting people to bet on that brand and that team to figure it out and be there. Also, the American League. I don't know how many people are going to tell you, the American League is weak. And obviously it's a tougher road for the Mets, where, like I said earlier in the show, the Braves and the Phillies have better odds, and they're in your division. So, you have to go through them. You could be a third-place team. You could be a wild-card team, again, or not. You know what I'm saying? Or not. But that's why we watch. That's why we're about to start this journey, and we'll see. I was listening to Evan and Tiki. I had this in my notes, too, and I think I texted the guys about it, because all this talk about Austin Wells, and we got to see it in spring training. Remember, ESPN did the broadcast of that Minnesota Twins game, and I think that might have been Wells' first or second time leading off, but we got to see Wells catch the first inning and then have to go change and then lead off, take his catcher's equipment off. I heard Tiki say, it would be Yes Network's job to, show us that perspective. And I'm like, it would actually be ESPN. And I'm pretty sure ESPN has the catcher's cam. So how dope would it be? And I don't know if they ever got to this in their show, if they mentioned it. I was busy today. I did a couple different things. I was in and out on the show. Maybe they mentioned it. Maybe they credited me. Maybe they didn't. But I'm bringing it to the table. ESPN put the catcher's cam on Austin Wells for opening day and show the world Austin Wells, that POV of him, you know, getting the last out and then running to the dugout, commercial break. And then when you come back from commercial, whatever, show us the POV of Austin Wells taking off his catcher's equipment and hustling up to be the first batter for the New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. Lou is in Astoria on the Fan. Go for it, Lou.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for waiting. Thanks for holding.
No problem. Keith, I get a problem with the prospect development with the Yankees, okay? Austin Wells is a good, okay, he has speed. He can hit, you know, but why are you going to – you play football. But as far as baseball is concerned, catching is the toughest position to play, okay, and stay healthy, okay? Now, why would you give this guy this assignment to be a catcher and a little leading off? I just don't get it. It just doesn't make any sense. It's like Jason Dominguez from the very beginning. He should have been in center field. Okay, they did something with Gleyber Torres, which if they move him to short, now at the end they want to put him to third. I just don't get it. The development, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but catching, I mean, they're trying to ruin his career, make it short. Why don't you let him play, be behind that judge, and let his offensive take care of himself. He's being a great catcher, okay? Now I just don't like that. Before I go to Soto, what you thinking about that?
I don't think it's permanent. I don't think that I know it's not all the time because it's going to be him and Goldschmidt. I think Austin Wells is young. I don't think it's going to ruin him. I don't hate it. I think it's about on base percentage. I think it's Boone working with what he has. The first spring training game, Dominguez did lead off. He struggled a little bit in left field, and I think they said, let's take that off his plate. I think they learned from Volpe. Wells has been great in spring training, hitting home runs, leading off. I think you stick with it to start. The Yankees always change their leadoff hitter. I don't think that they're married to it for the entire year.
Yeah, well, Keith, we haven't had a leadoff man in a very long time. Okay, like I said, Luis Arraez was available, okay, from San Diego Padres. Which would have been
where was he
to
going to
off.
Play?
Anyway,
where was he going to play? Okay. DH?
After we got rid of Soto, you know, the opportunity was there because, let me tell you, Soto is going to be missed. And I'm surprised that when you one time said that you 100% is going to be a Yankee, he's not going anywhere because it's Dominican, Jackson Heights, and all that stuff. And it didn't work out that way. But anyway, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, what I think doesn't matter. I definitely thought he was going to re-sign with the Yankees. What I think doesn't matter.
You did. I mean, you're involved.
Being on this mic, I was never going to bend the knee and be like, yeah, of course he's going to the Mets. I wasn't doing that.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, he's a great player. He makes the team all better.
Yeah, and there's Dominicans all over New York. There's plenty of Dominicans that are going to be pulling up to Queens to watch him for the Mets.
Exactly, but you actually believe that he was going to be a Yankee. You know?
I did.
Don't change your mind because...
No, I'm not changing my mind. He's a Met. I'm telling you, I know what I said. He was in the pinstripes.
So was everybody else, not you.
He was in the pinstripes. I think they offered him enough money to. Thanks for the call, Lou. I think they offered him enough money to be a Yankee and stay if he wanted to be a Yankee. He clearly didn't want to be a Yankee. I rep the Yankees. Why would I get on WFAN during the negotiations and be like, oh, of course he's going to be a Met? I gave Hal Steinbrenner and the Yankees a shot. Hal Steinbrenner and the Yankees did enough. If you also remember, and I have this on wax too, I did Foul Territory, shout out to the Foul Territory podcast, and I'm like, if it's over $750 million, that's too much. I'm like, $700 million is too much. So as people are comparing him to Mark Teixeira or Bobby Abreu or some other players, like what they're comparing is the numbers. But in this modern day of baseball, there is no too much for a player like Juan Soto. If you want him, but like I don't care at all that I was wrong. My opinion is Juan Soto should have stayed with the Yankees. I think he would have had a better chance to win the World Series this year, the next year. I think it would have been better for his brand and his business. But at the same time, like, I'm not Juan Soto. I'm Keith McPherson. I'm a radio host. I'm a Yankee fan. I don't know anything. Like, I'm giving you my opinions, my thoughts. I wouldn't have gone to the Mets if it was me. I would have stayed with the Yankees. But like, am I mad about it? No. And now looking at the Yankees lineup and who's playing for the Yankees, am I fine with it? Yes. So no, I couldn't predict the future, but a part of me did know because I had a caller say like, bro, you were saying it. He's for the streets. So yeah, I should have known. There's no loyalty to that. I just thought the guy was loving it. I thought the guy, you know, wanted to continue playing with Judge and maybe wanted to be the new face of the franchise because he's younger than Judge. Whatever, it doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter, yo. It's over. He's a Met. Congrats to the New York Mets and Juan Soto for the largest contract in sports history. I'm happy for the Supreme Court of Soto. Looking forward to the season. It gets tough doing the late night grind, but it's fun to, you know, go to the game and then drive back from the game and do these shows and get the like raw reaction of the fans. You know, some people driving home from the stadium, some people that watched at home, some people that might have been on the road, and you know, the shows, you know, so many times. Sorry, I'm a little out of breath. Hit the 25 push-ups. So many times, like, I'll listen to the radio or even myself, I'll have to do shows where we're grasping for things, where it's like, oh, we got to come up with a take that, like, I really try not to do that. I don't want to come up with a take that, like, I don't really believe in just to drive up calls and conversation. When the season starts, we don't have to do that. When the season starts, the story is right in front of you. What happened tonight with the New York Yankees? What happened tonight with the New York Mets? And then, I mean, obviously we'll have maybe the Rangers, Islanders, Devils, the New York Knicks. Then, I mean, the draft is going to hit. And I don't know, if you're into sports like I am, it's fun. It's fun. The weather starts changing. Obviously, we had daylight savings time a couple weeks ago. So, you know, days are getting longer and it's getting lighter out. And we're getting there. I had an ill, like wave of emotion come over me, like in a good way, being in Tampa at the pool. And it's the first time I hit the pool in 2025. And I'm like, yo, I'm standing in a pool with my son. It's hot. And I'm like, we made it through another winter. Like, let's go. Baseball's about to start. Let's go. Brock is in Huntington on the Fan. Go for it, Brock.
How you doing, Keith? I just wanted to chime in on Nemo here, just kind of give a point. And then I had a question for you about Juan Soto, if I could. All right, so with Nemo, in the spirit of the quotes, right, we got a lot of quotes going around. There's an old quote that says, you know, you can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? And I think it's easy for them to kind of, you know, come out and start talking this stuff. Now, Nemo, I give him some respect because I like his style. I give him, he's a gamer. But one thing, I look at it objectively. I'm a baseball fan. I'm a Yankee fan, but I'm a baseball fan before. When I look at Nemo, I give him respect. He's a gamer. But one thing I've seen is post-game interviews. I mean, this guy's not probably setting the record on the MLB equivalent of the Wonderlic test. So I would take anything he says with a grain of salt, if you know what I'm saying.
Is he from Wyoming or something like that?
Yeah, he makes Pete Alonso seem like a Harvard-educated guy when you listen to this guy talk. So I wouldn't worry about Nemo. I mean, overall, we'll see how that plays out. Now, with Soto, man, I have a question. You're a baseball fan. I'm a baseball fan. We've seen it all. We watch the games. We watch these players. All I hear on the station, and I'm not here to cross shows up, but I hear this a lot, whether it's TV, Juan Soto, the greatest free agent signing in the history of baseball. Mets got him, right? The best free agent signing. Now, I've watched baseball. I remember, guys, and I look at Juan Soto, and I remember, like, when Miguel Cabrera was 24 years old, he went from the Marlins to the Tigers. When I looked at A-Rod, I mean, he went to Texas when he was 25. If you look at his numbers, I mean, he was hitting like 54 home runs, batting .330, 28 stolen bases, Gold Glove. I mean, these guys were heads and shoulders above the player that Juan Soto was.
The best free agent signing, those are guys that you get and then you win, right? You get CC Sabathia, you win the World Series. You know what I'm saying? You get Saquon Barkley, you win the Super Bowl. We haven't gotten there yet with Juan Soto.
That's what I'm saying, man. And I mean, with Juan Soto here, I compare him. I really said, I know you were laughing before with Abreu and Teixeira. I think a fine comparison for Juan Soto is a Bryce Harper. I think those two guys play the game a similar way. I think they bring the same intensity under control to a team. I think they're very similar. Now, Juan Soto's numbers, hopefully he could avoid some of those injuries. But I think when you look at the kind of player you're getting, the kind of a cash equivalent there. When you say the best ever, though, I mean, when I look at hitters like Pujols in the past, Miguel Cabrera, I mean, one of the greatest hitters of all time. I mean, in my lifetime, I'm 45 years old. I've seen not one or two, but a bunch of hitters that are much more impressive and skilled than Juan Soto. I know he's got a great eye and he walks, but I've seen it myself. I mean, can you tell me that prime A-Rod, you would take Juan Soto over prime A-Rod? Are you kidding me?
Like, no.
No, man. Would you take him over? I mean, not a chance, bro. Not a chance. You wouldn't take him over prime Miguel Cabrera. Miguel Cabrera used to have the same 460 on base percentage.
I don't want to minimize him because he's a Met now and it's going to sound haterish.
It is.
But, like, there were times last year where it's like, yo, swing the bat, but he's working a walk. There were times last year where it's like, you know, a single and it's not like. And also, he was hitting in front of Judge. He's not hitting in front of Judge anymore. Brock, thanks for the call. I'm not trying to minimize. Juan Soto could be a 40-homer guy for the next 15 years. He could, I don't know. But, you know, that was a great point about, like, Juan Soto can't be the greatest free agent signing. We don't know what it's turned into yet. It could be one of the worst contracts. I know John Heyman wrote an article saying, this is risk-free. And for the Met fan, the joy that it gave you, it was worth every dollar. And it's the greatest, I think it's the greatest impact on a fan base as far as a free agent signing. Yankees, like CC Sabathia coming over, great. But like, we've had a bunch of great players before. I mean, the Dodgers, how do I miss out on the Dodgers? They signed Shohei Ohtani, win the World Series, and him deferring money sets a precedent for other players to come there and team up and play on the same team with him where they're willing to defer money. Blake Snell's deferred money. Tommy Edman is deferred money to be on the same team with a Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, I think from a Mets fan perspective, this is the most important free agent acquisition in my lifetime. Now, in my lifetime, the best Met I've seen is Jacob DeGrom. I don't think it's close. I don't think anyone touches DeGrom when it comes to that stuff. But from just a perspective of how important Soto is, how good he is, that every single fan, if you have a brand and if you watch baseball, you realize how good Juan Soto is. And Mets fans should prepare themselves for Yankee fans to look down upon Juan Soto. And they should know that if Juan Soto stayed, they would not be comparing Juan Soto to Mark Teixeira. That's an important qualifier to know, that that's a part of this fandom that's going to go up and down, up and down, up and down.
But is
that
what I'll also say too, though, is we're all not doing that. I know if you listen to me and you listen to C-Mac at night, we always make sure, yo, not minimizing Juan Soto. No disrespect to Juan Soto. We are giving him his flowers, which I just think if you are like not real, but like a rational Yankees fan, you can't go from watching every single at-bat and watching this guy play for the Yankees and being like, he's trash. And like, even people are like, he was terrible in the outfield. You haven't heard me say he was terrible in the outfield. If he was terrible in the outfield, they wouldn't have had him out there every single day. Now, there are some plays that but like, he made some plays too. We don't give him enough credit for some of the throws. We don't give him enough credit for some of the plays that he did make. It's hard to play the outfield. I think there are some salty fans. I'm not salty. I think there are some coping fans, still coping, that have to cope by saying Juan Soto is Mark Teixeira or Bobby Abreu. He's not. He's like,
right. And I think
he's like as far as like I'm not putting him against prime A-Rod, but as far as like those guys in the pantheon of like you have one at bat, you can pick one player for a golden at bat to win you the game, Juan Soto's up there with a lot of different guys.
Absolutely is. And again, I think it's just important to distinguish and qualify how just good this guy is and how good he was last year. And he's a Hall of Famer already. He's 25, and he's a Hall of Famer already. He set up his life for the next 15 years. There's going to be three generations of Soto that don't have to do anything because this guy is doing it all for them.
I've never seen Juan Soto with a girl. I don't know how this guy is Juan Soto, so famous, the largest contract in sports history. You don't have a girlfriend? You don't even have like a kind of girl? You don't have a fiance? You don't have a wife? I haven't even seen you around any chicks. Kathy is in Bayville on the fan. Go for it, Kathy.
Hi, Keith. How are you?
And I didn't mean to time that up like that, but like you were next in line.
It's okay. Listen, first of all, I want to say you're a treasure.
Thanks.
And I started listening to the fan because I love the sound of your voice. I have a big crush on you, on your voice.
Thanks. My mom and my wife, they're tired of hearing this voice. They need a break.
No way. So anyway, I have two things to say. One's about the Juan Soto, and the other one is about the new quarterback. So first of all, I want to mention about Juan Soto. And what I think and what I believe is that the reason why he went to the Mets so that he could be the star, not in the shadow of Aaron Judge, not so that he could be, you know, be shining in his own way.
Yeah. And not even compete with Judge. Not even there be a 1A, 1B, which there would be with Judge being the captain and the face of the franchise. Go on.
Right. The other thing is that, you know, it's only with $5 million difference between him, the Mets and the Yankees. And it was, I think, 14 years and 15 years.
Yeah, but it's not. It on paper, when you see the $765 million for 15 versus the $760 million for 16, it seems like a difference of $5 million. But after your call, I'll break down how, you know, it's much more. It's a difference of
$100 million. Well, I think he just wanted to. I just really think he wanted to be in the spotlight. You know what I mean?
He's an egotistical guy, and he should be. He's a ridiculous baseball player. He wanted to go to the Mets, not just for, like, now to be the guy, to finish his career as a Met and be their all-time best player. And I think he has a good chance of doing that if he can win. If he wins one World Series, he's the man.
Yeah, the other thing, thank you so much. The other thing I wanted to mention was about the new quarterback for the Giants. So I'm a Giants, Yankees, Knicks, Rangers fan. I'm like in that realm. So I find it odd that Zach Wilson and Russell Wilson have the same last name. Do you think that's like weird karma? I'm not even sure how to even approach that. I'm a person. I'm very good. I have good karma, parking karma. Like, I believe in karma. Like, I can get parking spaces anywhere in Manhattan, anywhere. Like, karma is good for me with parking. And I don't know whether or not this makes a difference, but I don't know. It's kind of weird, don't you think?
Like,
I don't know.
Call,
maybe it's
going to
be good karma. Maybe black and white. Like, maybe the opposite. Maybe it'll help the Giants. Are you there still?
I'm there. We're up against it, and I'll take it from here. Thanks for the call. Zach Wilson played for the Jets, drafted by the Jets. Russell Wilson will play for the Giants. I think if there's any parallels here with the universe, never unconnecting, not any karma type of thing. Karma is like people get bad karma, like karma's coming to you. There's no karma here. We want Russell Wilson to do well. Maybe there's karma with Zach Wilson. The only, you know, degrees of separation or dots to connect are the fact that Justin Fields and Russell Wilson played for Pittsburgh last year, and now Justin Fields is most likely going to be the starter for the New York Jets, and right across that from that same team in that same stadium is going to be the Giants potentially starting Russell Wilson as their quarterback. So the two Pittsburgh quarterbacks come over here to be the starters for our teams. When we come back, I'll explain why it is not a difference of $5 million between the Mets contract that Juan Soto signed and the Yankees contract that Juan Soto denied. Keep McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. 4 minutes, and I've got four calls. I'm not going to be able to get through all of them. I'm sorry. I'm going to try, though. Keep McPherson on the Fan. Going to my guy, Jonathan, usually in L.A., but he's in Manhattan for opening day. What's up, bro?
Hey, yo, what's good, my guy, Keith? I'm actually at LaGuardia, which is 5 minutes away from City Field. What are the odds of that, man?
It's always been in the same location. Yeah.
Oh, no, I mean, yeah, but I'm like, I landed next to you know, City Field. But, bro, I'm happy. Me and my son were here, bro. This guy can't wait to meet Keith. I mean, you, bro, we're just excited, man. Opening day. And, well, we're just excited, bro. I was listening to you earlier and through a caller. He kept that, oh, we're going to regret not signing Soto. Bro, the guy was asking for $800 million.
Yeah, it's crazy. All we do is cry about allocation of funds. All we do is cry about the situation we're in now. Like, I saw somebody post something on Twitter today about how, oh, a $300 million payroll and you're relying on Carlos Carrasco? That should get Brian Cashman fired. Hey, well, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. It is what it is. But, yeah, if we paid Soto all that money, we'd be crying about it on the back end.
we try our best, bro. And it's like a girl. You get dumped by a girl, and if you don't like her, I mean, if she doesn't want to be with you, you got to move on, brother. You got to move on. But
yeah.
See you Thursday morning, bro. Hey, bro, is that 18? Are kids allowed at Sands or not?
I mean, it's outside. Kids can't go in there and buy a drink, but it's outside on the street in River Ave. It's a party in the whole street. I done this 1,000 times. I cannot wait. John, I'll see you soon. Man. And tell Bash I said what's up, too. Appreciate it, bro. 888-808-1019. John is in Bayonne on the Fan.
Keith, you'll be seeing the Yankees raise a division flag, and you'll be seeing Juan Soto sitting there saying, where's our flag? So when it comes down to it, bye-bye Juan, and the Yankees are much better first base. Great move. Second base, better than last year. Shortstop, the same. Third base, the same. Outfield, better. Way better. Okay? Catcher, way better. And we have a closer. We're not going to blow.
Yeah, closer, yes.
Okay, so stop the nonsense. Bye-bye, Juan. We'll be okay. We'll be going to the World Series. You got to go to the Dodgers. You got to go to the Braves. You got to go to the Phillies. Good luck. You might not even win the first game and its first playoffs games and not even get the division. So
you might be right, John. Thanks for the call. Josh is in the Bay Area on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show. Yesterday, when you teased who ducked you at spring training, I knew exactly who it was. I think his action and reaction since the interview has spoken a lot about him and really honestly gives a lot of truth to the rumors and jokes made about him. I mean, Keith, you have the vice president, the secretary of defense, in group chats with journalists talking about war plans. Is it really out of the question that Boris invited Heyman to a group chat with Soto, Cohen, and Soto's mom talking about the clothing allowance? Like, that's not crazy, right? At this point,
it's not crazy at all. great call. Last call goes to Steve and Bayside. No comment on that. If you know, you know, if you're listening last night.
Hey, what's going on, Keith?
Nothing. Just finishing this show off.
Anyway, I want to defend Aaron Judge as a postseason guy. I think people are too quick to call him a choker, which I really think is just totally unfair. The guy was great for us in 2017 and 2018. I know people kind of forget that he carried the team back then in the postseason both years. So he's not a choker. I mean, look, he wasn't choking last April when his swing was off. You know, things happen.
Thanks for the call, Steve. It's just hard to do that. Judge struck out like 20 times. He had opportunities with runners on. You know what it is? Judge sets the bar so high for what we expect of Aaron Judge in the regular season. When he comes back down to earth and has a sub-200 batting average, and you know what I'm saying? It's just like, what is going on? I remember last year people getting mad at me on Twitter. I was like, there is no plan to overcome the MVP not being the MVP. There is no plan to win without Judge being Judge. That's the whole thing. Judge has to be Judge. Stan can't carry him every time. Soto, Glaver, the rest of these guys, whatever. C-Max coming up next. I'm out of here. But I'll be back on Thursday after opening day. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York.
I don't hate the Mets. These are my Mets.